This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The NBA season is over, and now we are on to the annual tradition like no other, LeBron season. Joining me to talk about both of those things right now, he is on Twitter, at Hoops Critic. He covers the NBA for SiriusXM. He's a contributor to NBA TV as well. Brian Geltzeiler joining me for his weekly visit. Geltz, how we doing, man?
Good, Shoney. How we doing, bud?
I'm doing okay. Geltz, before we get into basketball, you know what tonight is the 11-year anniversary of, right?
I know it is. Tony Soprano totally mouthing onion rings into his mouth while listening to Don't Stop Believin'.
I know,
right,
and then having it...
Right after he cut his deal with Butchie and had Phil Leotardo taken care of, it all wrapped up in a nice, neat little bow till our screen
went
flat,
yeah.
Right?
It was and shoveling those onion rings in until members only guy came out of the bathroom and planted one in the back of his head.
Ah, you can't prove that, Russ. Me and Mr. Clark W. Griswold.
Are you so? I love this. Like the Tony Soprano. I love that Tony Soprano's death over time is going to become something like JFK. You know what I mean? Like, hey, so
absolutely.
Do you think? What do you think? You think so? Are you a not? Are you a he didn't get shot guy, Geltz? Or are you a he did get
he
shot guy?
He did not get shot guy.
Okay,
I am a life goes on guy, and that like he was in there worrying about getting shot, knowing that anybody could be shooting him or coming in to bust him at any time. And
okay.
That's the fate that he lives with. That's the way I always looked at it. But
Everybody's
got their own interpretation.
I watched a video yesterday, Geltz. It made a pretty compelling case and kind of has converted me a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
I saw that video and it converted me for about a couple of days. And then I watched it and it changed my mind.
All right, well, let's get to basketball. So, Geltz, I guess we can do the post-mortem on these finals here. I don't know. What's the formula for beating these Golden State Warriors? Is it Chris Paul better have a healthy hamstring? Can LeBron James go somewhere that puts a team ahead of the Warriors when it comes to being the favorite? What happens now for the NBA?
Well, first of all, I mean, obviously LeBron's the big decision and the big domino to fall. I don't know that he goes anywhere that they can truly challenge the Warriors. The one team I think would have an interesting chance to challenge the Warriors next year would be the Boston Celtics. Because I will say this about the Warriors, their biggest enemy next year is going to be themselves. And I think their biggest enemy this year was themselves. I think there were times that, you know, and they talked about it also, fighting the boredom has become difficult for them. They're so good that a lot of this just isn't exciting or challenging anymore. And yes, the Houston series was very challenging, and they got put in some tough spots and didn't respond great in some tough spots, and you can certainly make a fair case. I'm not sure I totally agree with it, but you can make a fair case that if Chris Paul plays in that last two games, the Rockets can win that series. But nonetheless, if they didn't, the Warriors still went ahead to sweep the NBA Finals. So, you know, here's the thing. If they're going to play at the top of their game, I don't even think the Celtics can get them. I don't think a healthy Celtics team, I don't think anybody can get them. However, if they're going to play with this whole boredom thing, turning it on, turning it off, there's plenty of teams that can get them. You cannot discount the amount of extra games that are played when you make the NBA Finals 4 years in a row. And I got to tell you something. I'm confident next year that it's not going to be Golden State and Cleveland again. So that would mean the Warriors are the one team, if they do get there, that would be 5 years in a row. It's at one point or another, fatigue from a long-term standpoint is going to set in here. And the fact that these guys have trouble applying themselves all the time because they don't see this as, you know, the challenge that it was, and I can't blame them. I think those types of things are going to keep teams closer than everybody thinks. You know, it wasn't that long ago, Shawnee, that we had two conference final series both go to seven games. All of a sudden, the finals ends in a sweep, and somehow it's all boring and not fun anymore. I'm not necessarily buying that either.
Brian Geltzeiler joining me on CBS Sports Radio. All right, Geltz, we know the usual names that have been kind of tossed around when it comes to somewhere LeBron could go other than staying in Cleveland. Of the teams that, the four or five teams that get mentioned the most, which one has the easiest path to get LeBron and which one has the most difficult path to get LeBron?
Well, I think sometimes, and we've heard the favorite theory of everybody is, hey, let's you know, David Griffin, a Philly, and that's going to bring LeBron there. LeBron's not running somewhere because of a general manager. And don't get me wrong. LeBron loves David Griffin. They have a terrific relationship. And that certainly would help Philadelphia. But it's far from the most important factor. He needs an owner that's going to spend well into the luxury tax. That's what he has to have. What was one of the reasons he left Miami? Because the Arison short changed him his fourth year of that deal and took Mike Miller away from him so they could save $14 million. And LeBron didn't forget that. And now he's at a point with Dan Gilbert where he wanted Gilbert to keep spending and spending and spending, and Gilbert decided there was a limit. So you have to look at ownership group. The Lakers have a history of spending into the tax. The Lakers are printing money with that Time Warner TV deal and make a gazillion dollars out in that market from television. Okay, for the Lakers, they'll spend well into the tax. They don't care. That's a plus for them. And I think, to me, they're the odds-on favorite for him right now, because Paul George would love to go home, and if LeBron had somebody to pair with, they'd pair. And then there's the other part of this, which Rocket fans don't want to hear, which is that, you know, listen, I know you think you have Chris Paul in the bag, but you know what? If the Rockets come up a little bit short on years or money with a deal and LeBron makes an attractive case to him, well, maybe they go to L.A. together. The other teams I would look at for LeBron, you know, it is obviously the Rockets are in play, but you got to remember one thing with the Rockets. It's going to be an opt-in and trade situation. It's going to cost you Clint Capella in one form or another. And you got to ask yourself, guys, 24 years old, you know, LeBron's going to start the playoffs next year and be 34 years old. You got to ask yourself, is that the right thing for your team right now? Listen, it's LeBron James. You can bring him in, you bring him in, but it doesn't guarantee anything. And then, listen, I haven't ruled out the staying in Cleveland part. The problem with staying in Cleveland part is, how do you better this roster from what you have right now? And Dan Gilbert does not trust LeBron, so he's not going to trade this number 8 pick and get caught holding the bag again and have no pieces like he did last time when LeBron left him high and dry. So there's other places that are out there. Listen, I think he'll talk to Miami. I would too if I were him. I think he'll talk to the LA Clippers, and that could be something interesting also. But in the end, I think we're looking at ultimately either the Lakers, Houston, and if he doesn't do either of those, look for him to stay where he is in Cleveland. I'm not sold on the Philly thing, man. That's an ownership group that's never spent a lot of money, doesn't have a history of doing that, and that will be a big old leap by LeBron James to trust them to go into the tax. Because if LeBron joins a team that doesn't go into the tax, that's going to be a big, big problem for him in the last stage of his career. And I think he's smart enough to know what matters. An owner willing to spend is what's going to matter the most.
Brian Geltzeiler joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Geltz, you mentioned Philly. I guess just as we do a postmortem on this season, probably need to do a postmortem on Brian Colangelo in Philly. What's your take on that whole thing and how it all went down?
I can't stand the way it all went down. And don't get me wrong, the Sixers did the right thing. They came to a point, regardless of who did this, and we know who did it. It was his wife, and the investigators were pretty darn confident. And keep in mind, they examined all of Brian Colangelo's devices, personal and business, and saw no evidence of him using any of these accounts. So from that standpoint, I believe this was being done without his knowledge, as they did as well. The thing is, they could not keep him on board because the waters were way too muddied. I mean, he soiled the whole thing. His wife soiled the whole thing for him. I just don't like the way it went down, because what you have here is a writer who, for a website, who's really been a fan before he's ever been a writer, despises Brian Colangelo because he's a big hinky guy. Somebody drops an anonymous tip in his lap. Somebody targeted Brian Colangelo to do that. This writer, of course, takes it and runs with it because whoever dropped the tip knew that Dietrich was going to take it and run with it. And he ends up being able to write a story that really wasn't accurate in the respect that, yes, they were all coming from the same place, these tweets, but they weren't coming from Brian Colangelo. They were coming from his wife. And he made, as much as people want to say he just presented facts, he led you to a conclusion that Brian Colangelo did this. And Brian Colangelo didn't do this. But nonetheless, his wife gets swept up in this net because he got targeted. And it's like the best comparison is this, Shawnee. Okay? So we had a call in Game 1 of the NBA Finals that was a reverse call. And what the league will tell you is that charge block call with LeBron and Durant, they got it right. And it didn't matter how they had to go about it to get it right. But you got a lot of people screaming and yelling that you looked at call based upon the restricted area when the guy was nowhere close to the restricted area. And that's correct. They massaged a rule. It's the same thing with journalistic ethics in this story. Okay, the reality is he did get to something at the bottom of it. But how did he do it? Through an anonymous source? You're going to call them up, okay, the Sixers, and with, you know, 5 burner accounts, and you're only going to tell them about 2. There's something underhanded about that. You're going to call him up and give him a chance to make a statement. You're not a not the police solving a crime here. What they did, what was done here to Brian Colangelo, was really it was a bad, bad thing. And the thing is, you worry a little bit when you get fan up. Or remind me a lot of the Greg Schiano situation in Tennessee, okay, where he gets hired there and all of a sudden people wanted him out, so they find things from his past. That's what happened here with Colangelo. It's a dangerous trend starting in sports. I did not like the way any of it went down.
Those are good analogies. Geltz, we got about a minute, but real quickly, do you have any issue when it comes to evaluating Kevin Durant, putting him alongside all-time greats? Does him choosing to go to a 73-win team to accomplish this affect the calculus at all for you, or is it just titles or titles?
I mean, I think it affects it a little bit. I think it's impossible that it doesn't. But I think it can affect it a lot when he's winning MVPs. And I know Steph Curry could have easily gotten that MVP. And certainly, no matter who they gave it to on either side, it would have been fine. But so I think some of it has to happen that way. But it's not like he's not playing an enormous role and helping this team along. I mean, he's not being carried in anybody's coattails. The only thing that's kind of bothered me about him at times is the fragile nature of his ego at times, the fact that he's not always a team player out there. Those are definitely some issues as well. Durant's a strange character here, and he's a really, really sensitive guy. And there's times that, you know, they have a hard time keeping him pulling in the same direction as everybody else. That stuff I hold against him a little bit, because I don't know if he was in the situation where he didn't have all this talent surrounding him, if he'd be able to be mentally tough enough to pull a team through on his own. But we don't really have to find that out, because listen, he joined this super team and he's going to kind of have that ready-made legacy on the fly, and he'll have the rings, God bless him, but joining this team will really hurt him if he's looking to be ranked among the top 10 or top 15 players in the history of the game.
That's Brian Geltzeiler. Great stuff, Brian. Geltzeiler joining us on the show here. Geltz, I'm going to go back and rewatch the last scene of The Sopranos about 8 or 10 times, because I just don't like being on a different side of the argument from you on this one.
We got to debate this. I'm going to do the same thing, and we'll revisit in a couple weeks. What do you think?
That sounds like a plan, Geltz. Hey, man, I appreciate you always making time for me on a Sunday night, and enjoy it. And I won't be here next week, so happy Father's Day to you a week early.
Well, happy Father's Day to you, my brother, and I look forward to talking to you soon. You take care.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.